Vote, because the ads are going to be over after today. Vote. Get it done.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Sounds like a barking dog, you think? Vote. Hello. You're Bill Benica. This is Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo, California. We have a very important and moving interview coming up at 12:30, and it has to do with veterans. And as of a few hours ago, the Board of Supervisors declared November Thank a Vet Month. So if nobody's thanked you yet, let me say thank you very much. Matter of fact, I was in, knowing this, I went to the Board of Supervisors, I went to the, what do they call that, the government center, and then Greg Scheer was there and all these people, and so I figured, well, I actually had an appointment at 9 at the VA clinic, so I thought, well, you better not be late for that, so anyway, so here's the deal, so I go to the VA, so this Thank a Vet Month, I know that that's what's going to happen, and then I go to the VA clinic, and as I'm leaving, a gentleman walks in, and he's a World War II vet. And any time you see a World War II, and you know because they're old, they're really, I mean, they're older like than me, they're old, you want to say it this way, I think. This is what I always say. Thanks for saving the world.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting? You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roasting. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. That tastes great.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shushun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Right there, Mike's Shoes. I got the latest styles and everything for you ladies. And for men, they always have just the great Clarks and whatnot. They're just the good shoes that keep you looking good, comfortable. Everything. I'm wearing my Clark shoes right now as we speak. They are. If you have, like, gnarly feet, I'm not saying that I do, but if you have, like, gnarly feet or flat feet, like I have that, for sure, and you, I would recommend that you go to Mike's Shoes and let them fit you in a pair of shoes that you can walk around in all day and be comfortable. I mean, what a difference. What a difference than, you know, just saying, oh, I'll just buy something and see how it works out. Forget that. Let's do our highlight in history and our flashback and our birthdays and all that today. Highlight in history on November 6, 1888, Republican Benjamin Harrison won the presidential election, defeating Democratic incumbent Grover Cleveland with an electoral vote count of 233-168, even though Cleveland led in the popular vote. That again. On this date in 1977, 39 people were killed when the Kelly Barnes Dam burst, sending a wall of water through Toccoa Falls College in Georgia. 1990, we'll get to a story today, by the way, a beaver dam broke and flooded some areas. I don't know. In 1990, about one-fifth of the Universal Studios backlot in Southern California was destroyed in an arson fire. Walt Whitman had our thought for today. Let's share it. I know nothing grander, better exercise, better digestion, more positive proof of the past, the triumphant result of faith in humankind than a well-contested American national election. So he says. Birthdays today. Born today was director Mike Nichols, is 81. Actress Sally Field is 66. And actress Emma Stone is 24. We want to say happy birthday to them, and most especially to you, if it's your birthday on this election day.
Happy birthday to you.
Country Oaks Care Center. Caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
Here's the news from CalCoastNews.com today. The Paso Robles Police Department added two patrol officers to its short staff force. Officers Stephen Lampe and Nicholas Hauer, it doesn't matter, joined the department Monday at a ceremony held in the Emergency Operations Center. Both hold police experiences in other California departments. The hire of the two patrol officers followed a decision by the city last month to rehire a retired sergeant. The Paso Robles Police Officers Association criticized the rehiring because the department already had a complete administrative staff and lacked patrol officers on the street. Well, the past year, the police department at times has had to keep as few as two patrol officers on duty. Former Chief Lisa Solomon Chitty enacted a limited response program in January called Safe Mode, which mandated that officers not respond to a long list of crimes when the department is short-staffed. Acting Chief Robert Burton discontinued the service reduction program when he replaced Solomon, but the department remained short on patrol officers. One new hire, a police officer trainee, quit after complaining about department policies and procedures. With the hiring of these other two, the department now has 30 SWAT officers and about 17 on patrol. In 2007, the department had approved a total of 40 officers. And Morro Bay is still looking for officers, too. I'll throw that out to you, because you might go to Morro Bay. Yeah. Now, this was an interesting story here. Trustees of the California State University system will decide next week if fees will be raised for so-called professional students in an attempt to open up enrollment for more people. The strategy is to spread a new fee increase between an estimated 53,000 students who take extra courses, repeat classes, or dawdle too long at school to move them through the school faster. University trustees already had made plans to raise tuition about another fees for all of its 425,000 undergraduate students if Prop 30 poops out today. Included in the new plan's agenda is a graduation incentive fee to discourage individuals from taking more classes than needed to graduate. An additional financial burden would also be placed on those who repeat courses and who take more than a regular full-time course load. Students are said to be organizing protests to call attention to the planned action by the trustees because there are professional students who want to be professional students. It's their right, they believe. That's what they believe, I'm sure. Okay, other things are going on. Well, you know, it's San Francisco. That's all I can say. Huh? It's Chinatown. It's San Francisco right there. And there is a Chinatown in San Francisco. During her public comment at a San Francisco City Council meeting Monday about banning public nudity, a woman disrobed and was let out of the meeting. For about 2 hours, speakers argued over whether Castro's naked guys were a few harmless individuals just expressing themselves, a growing public nuisance that San Franciscans should no longer have to tolerate. Supervisor Scott Wiener, who represents the Castro area, is proposing legislation forbidding genital exposure in public areas aside from street fairs, festivals, and parades. Over the past 2 years, the situation on our streets, and particularly and the Castro area has changed, Wiener said. And public nudity is no longer random and sporadic, and it's no longer an occasional quirky part of the San Francisco. While standing at the lectern touting body freedom, nudist activist Gypsy Taub disrobed. Judge Jeffries pulled her from the hearing room and held her up against a wall until she agreed to put her dress back on. She was not arrested or cited. Okay, and that's it's 12:16. You're up to the minute on CalCoastNews.com on 1340 KYNS, your news station.
KyleCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right. That's like, you know, if you have a, like a nudist colony and they have a big argument of some kind, people come in with their pants on just to say how they feel. All right, you're with Bill, talk of Sheep, Friends, and Neighbors Network today. I'm going to start today. I'll tell you, I'm going to start today by telling you about Idlers, because Idlers Sleep Source has all the great beds and stuff that you need and ways to get some good night's sleeps and everything. And so you got to get to Idlers to understand what's going on. It's right there at the corner of Cross and Short Street, and it's in the corner there, and it's just 100 yards away from the appliance store. Idlers has been around since 1954. Did you hear that? Since 1954. How many other places you can buy a bed can say that? None. So anyway, get the word out, really, for the great deal that they do on mattresses. With your Tempur-Pedic, you get a 20-year warranty. There's new styles, two new styles just in, two new kinds. And when you go there, say, I want to test drive everything. And if here's one that's really fascinating, the Breeze. If you sleep hot, you can sleep cool, because the Breeze has some kind of stuff that makes stays cool. I don't understand it exactly, but it's kind of good. It's not like aluminum foil either. I mean, it's something soft and nice. Anyhow. And then don't forget that their Tempur-Pedic's been recommended by Good Housekeeping, the Arthritis Foundation, Consumers Digest, Best Buy, and the NASA and Space Foundation, which is, you know, that's something right there, isn't it? They also sell Sealy Optimum, Beauty Rest, Posturepedic, and they just do a good job. And you have Cody there and Juniper, and they're gonna, you know, take care of you. That's never a whammy, bammy, jammy thing. There's no pressure at all. Just come in, take your time, relax. They'll tell you about any bed you want to know about, and you can test drive them all. It's a nice way to spend a relaxing afternoon, I'd say. So when you get a chance, get to Idler's Sleep Shop. All right, coming up soon, we're going to have our people coming in that are guests today, and I'll explain what that is when it's the right time. And because part of it I'm not sure. One half I am sure of, so I will share this with you. One half is a young lady whose brother came down with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, after Afghanistan, and he served in Afghanistan and Iraq, and ended up killing himself. So I know it's not a happy thing, but it's a thing that's very important. I think we mentioned and didn't talk about. Let's talk about other things. Let's talk about other things besides, you know, women taking their clothes off and these funny things and all that. Let's get to, I thought this would be interesting today. Aging in Oval Office, who did it the best? This is what we're going to try to determine from this here, is who aged the best in the Oval Office? Of course, there's some people that are old and dead that we don't know, but they died, so they must have not aged very well. But, all right, we're going to see what we can find out here. All right, we're going to see what we can find out. There we go. Come on, go ahead. Okay, little did I know, because how could I have known this, because I hadn't seen it before, little did I know that what we were going to have was, instead of them talking about who has aged well and who has not aged well in the presidential office and the office of the president, that it was just going to be pictures and music in the background. So I probably wasn't very impressive, was it? No, I don't think it was either. Okay. Well, anyway, so you decide. I don't know. Everybody gets gray hair, though, whenever they're in office, so it kind of must be rough on them somehow or another. Okay, we have special people that are going to come in here and talk to us, and I'm going to get into it with this, I think. I'm going to get into it with this.
Coming home, I'm coming. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Home. I'm coming home. Coming home from across the sea. Home. I'm coming home. No more marching and fighting for me. I am a soldier, a coming home soldier. No purple heart do I wear on my chest. I'm just a soldier, a coming home soldier. I'm coming home. The girl I left behind has been waiting patiently. She said she didn't mind, 'cause I was helping to keep our land free. I am a soldier, a coming home soldier. No purple heart do I wear on my chest. I'm just a soldier, a coming home soldier. I know that I've done my best. I'm coming home, I'm coming. I'm coming home, I'm coming home.
Coming Home Soldier, Bobby Vinton. And so we have a very serious thing to talk about today, and something very moving, I can assure you, and that's the fact that we have soldiers that do come home, and then soldiers that suffer from all kinds of things, all kinds of physical maladies, of course, but also from psychological problems like post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm familiar with many, many people that have it. It's really tough. It can happen. Post-traumatic stress disorder is so weird because you can come home and have it right away. You can come home with it. You can, a lot of Vietnam vets, they don't develop it for 40 years. And then all of a sudden they're leaving what they think is a normal life, which they find out wasn't a normal life. And then all of a sudden the genie comes out of the box and there they are. So it's really quite an amazing thing. My guests today are Greg Shear, Matt Reed, who was in the Marine Corps. I wrote Navy next to Matt Reed's name. Woo! Who was in the Marine Corps for how many years?
8 years.
8 years. And then Kat, you were in the Navy for how long?
I was for 8 years.
Okay, for 8 years. Wow, that's a long time. How come you guys do 8 years and then quit? Just you get fed up with it.
I did 6 years active and then 2 years reserves.
Well, does that give you any deal?
No, college.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's true. It helps pay for college. Mm-hmm. Let's pass that microphone. I'm sorry, we've got to do it this way. So, Greg, tell us about how things went at the at county today and the Board of Supervisors and what exactly transpired.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Greg.
Today, the Board of Supervisors for the fourth year in a row proclaimed November as Thank a Vet Month. And it gives the citizens of San Luis Obispo County an opportunity to take 2 minutes out, and you know somebody who served, call them up, thank them, go up, shake their hands. And so that's what the Board of Supervisors did today. They proclaimed November as Thank a Vet Month.
I very seldom get to do this because there's hardly any of them left, but when I was leaving the clinic today, there was a World War II vet. So I went up and this is how I always do World War II vets. Thanks for saving the world. That's how I do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do I want to talk to Matt first or Kat first? Either way, you guys decide.
Let's let Matt. He's the speaker.
We're gonna. Okay, that's all right.
But one of the things that we're here for is Matt and Kat have a fundraiser taking place on Veterans Day in Morro Bay.
We do.
And it's a terrific cause, and to bring awareness to so many people that are suffering. And I'll kind of turn it over to Matt now.
Okay. let me first, Matt, let's talk about your experience in the Marine Corps. So you were in the Marine Corps for 8 years.
I was, yes, sir.
And you did the, I dare say you were able to visit foreign lands.
I absolutely was.
Did you, were you in Afghanistan or Iraq and Afghanistan? Or?
Both. I did three Iraq combat deployments and one Afghan as an infantry machine gunner.
Those of us that are Vietnam vets, and I can tell you this, we are marvel, and also, I don't know what else, we're stunned, I think, by the idea of you people having to serve multiple tours of duty like that overseas. And what makes it even more complicated would seem to me is, you know, Vietnam, you did your year and you came home and that was it, you were going to be done. Of course, we had a draft, so there's 1 million people they could grind through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, too, though, is that... what's so hard to me about what you do is not that you, I mean, it's being in combat all that time, but the other thing is, as you go, you come back, and you sort of are getting into your life again with your family, then you go again, and then you come back again, you go again, come back. It's like, holy dump truck to me. That's just insane. And all of us Vietnam vets feel the same way. We all just kind of roll our eyes and go, I don't know how they're doing it. And so this is what's cool. The VA's trying to seek out and really identify people that have PTSD.
Absolutely.
Those of us that are friends of mine that have PTSD, and when we talk about this, it's almost like their attitude is, how could you not have PTSD after you've served that many tours of duty, you know? Because we look at the Vietnam vets, and oftentimes with Vietnam vets, we don't know why this is. I think it's because we had to hide everything so much when we got back, if you remember. So it takes like 40 years for a lot of Vietnam vets to all of a sudden have the genie come out of the bottle, and they're like, what the heck is this, you know?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. It's those guys that have really inspired myself and my buddies to seek help. I'm 26 years old, and, you know, watching some videos here and there online and speaking to people in person and talking to these guys from that era, and having them kind of open up, it was huge to me, and listen to their story and how they were affected by it. I didn't really realize it until, you know, later years in life, and everything that kind of led up to them, that culminating point to where it finally broke, and everything was, you know, they lost their family because of it. They lost their jobs because of it, friends, you name it. You know, people just couldn't put up with it anymore.
Well, and they don't. The sad part of it is that because, again, we weren't trying to identify it really.
Right.
There wasn't really help because they weren't really helping
exactly.
At that point. You know, people went through all of this mm-hmm. trauma, and they didn't know why. They didn't know why their lives were screwed up.
Exactly.
You know, why they were screwing things up and all that. And that makes it really kind of crazy, you know.
Absolutely.
We have, of course, the new Vet Center. They
yes.
just had the open house here
it
on
did.
The 3rd. And that's directly, it directs itself pretty directly to combat vets, which is a really good thing because, you know, all of us that served. But combat vets, you know, they have gone through a certain thing that other people just have not gone through. And, you know, people, I mean, lots of people that are civilians that have never been to service say, well, how do you do that and then come back and become normal again? Well, it's weird. It's you know, it's just you're not the same kind of a person anymore. You got that thing with you for the rest of your life.
You do, yeah.
Okay, so let's do you have PTSD
I
yourself?
Do.
Okay.
Actually going to the vet center just recently, I kind of admitted to myself a couple weeks ago actually that this is something I'm struggling with and that it's not something I can do on my own. I'm not strong enough to, you know, to do this, and I don't need to be. I don't need to do this on my own.
No,
there's so many people out there that are willing to help,
right.
That have the training and
right.
know how to handle it.
Right.
And so I finally kind of took it upon myself to push myself to get over to the VA clinic, the one that just had the grand opening, and I'm going there. So it's, you know, I'm seeking help, and I know it's not going to be an easy road. It's going to be a long one, but it's necessary because I don't want to become a statistic, and I don't want to become that,
right.
you know, 40, 50, 60-year-old man who is bitter and you know, feels like I can't, you know, get along with society. I don't want that.
Well, and I think you've nailed that on the head. I mean, really, I mean, I was talking to a guy today that I know. I had never heard this story, but when he was on the very far end of a base refueling helicopters, and there was no real guard anywhere near him, and so he was, you know, always worried about the VC coming out of the bushes and getting him at night. So here's the story. This is you have to understand how weird Vietnam was. He got an ape, and it was a vicious ape, and he beat it up till it would do what he said, and then he'd have it on his shoulder. He'd go out there and refuel planes with an ape on his shoulder, and he'd have it in his hooch so the thing would make noise in case somebody was coming. It's like, whoa. Okay, so, you know, but you have so many experiences that people have and how differently they affect us all. And I think that what's interesting is you wonder, I think, you know, why me? You know, if you get PTSD, you're kind of like, well, why did this do this to me? And that's not a simple answer. There's no simple answer to that. It just is a matter of, I'm going to say this. I think we're kidding ourselves if we think that anybody can come back from a tour of duty and has seen combat that does not have some kind of stress in their noodle. I don't see how that's possible. I'm sorry. I don't see how it's possible. But for some of us, it's worse than for others.
It is, and that's something I was just going to comment on. You know, there's guys that have had the same experience I have. There's guys that have had a far different experience, you know, a far more drastic combat experience than I did. And I saw my fair share. But they're able to handle it. For whatever reason, you know, mentally, they can handle that stress. And they live a perfectly normal, adjusted life. But everybody's different, like you were saying. And just because they're able to do and deal with it on a certain level doesn't, you know, take away from you. It's no reflection upon yourself. And I think that's a hard thing for veterans like ourselves to understand, that it's not a reflection. It's not taking away our manhood or,
right.
I'm not a weak person or I can't, you know, do this, that, and the other thing. That's not what that's saying. It's just you need to come to terms with it.
And nobody can, I don't think anybody in the world, I don't care as much research as they've done on this now, I don't think they can come up with a formula for what your life was like prior to you going into combat to decide, well, this person's going to have an easy time of it, this person's going to have a hard time. I mean, you're looking at a whole complicated life that you lived prior to going into service, you know.
Absolutely.
And so there's no way of really knowing that. Although I have talked to, I talked to a doctor one time, and he said people that were abused as children tend to have PTSD a lot more frequently than other people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a built-in disaster for them to have to have been through that kind of trauma. But anyway, I want to talk to also. And first, let me thank you very much for your service. I mean, that's just amazing. I just can't imagine the whole. Like I said, I did a year in Vietnam, and that was goodbye. I'm going home. Amazing thing. The other thing too is, let me ask you this: with the all-volunteer service. You know, one of the advantages you had when everybody was being drafted was you could piss and moan all the time about the fact that I wouldn't have been in the service if I hadn't been for the dang Vietnam War, you know. And so people could do that. But now you have all volunteer service. But I'm going to ask you a question. You were a Marine, and I know how you keep things close to the vest. You're a Marine. But here's what I got to ask you. Is there a time when you say to yourself, wow, this is more than I imagined?
Absolutely. And the pissing and moaning, it still happens regardless of the volunteer or not.
Oh, they do. Okay, that's that, good.
That hasn't changed at all.
Human nature.
Yeah, human nature. Yeah, that's interesting. Let's talk to, and we'll get to, where this is we're preceding all this with an event. We're preceding an event that is going to be happening here. And but we want to get some background and some information on people. Again, this event, 11-11-11, is our event, our Veterans Day. And it's going to be in Morro Bay. But I want to have a chance to talk to Kat Roach, who was in the Navy for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And if I had to summarize that experience, what would you say? What did you do in the Navy?
I was an aviation maintenance administration man. So for the first 4 years, I worked on helicopters. I was a plane captain, so I directed helicopters and did in-flight fueling and things like that. And then I switched over to jets after that for a couple of years.
Now, did you go to sea at all?
I did, but my sea duty was actually overseas because women were not allowed on the ships.
On ships,
and then they opened the floodgates, and all the women went on the ships. And then they said, well, we don't have a ship for you, but we can send you to Hawaii or we can send you to Spain. And so I was pretty lucky, actually. I mean, when we worked really hard. Yeah. But I was between the Gulf Wars, And so I didn't see combat.
My brother, I had a brother who was a naval fueler guy thingy, and it's a lot of hard work for sure.
It's definitely hard work.
You know, that's interesting you say that. I'm going to tell you something that people, I know people look at me and say, that's not possible, but it was very possible back in the mid-60s. I didn't see a female service person the whole time I was in the Navy. I never saw
a
wave.
Well, I was actually only the second woman to become a plane captain in our unit.
Really?
So they hadn't had a woman before that. There were just two of us.
You're here, though, not just because you're in the Navy for 8 years, mm-hmm. but you have something else that happened in your life that's really important.
Yeah. Well, before I get to that, I just want to give you a couple of statistics because I'm so glad that you're having us because 1 out of 10 people in San Luis Obispo County is a veteran.
Right.
So think of Veteran Month as really important. 2.5 million people served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and these are stats as of October of 2012. 20% came home with post-traumatic stress. That's about 500,000 soldiers. And it's important to point out that this is only the known cases of post-traumatic stress because many soldiers suffer in silence and don't seek help. 18 veterans commit suicide daily. And actually, Matt and his friend Daniel, who served with Matt, they've known quite a few who have, unfortunately. Army suicides are up 15% and Marine suicides are up 28%. So when you really look at the numbers, it's pretty staggering. My personal experience is that my younger brother, David, was in the Army. He actually fell under the stop-loss program, so I don't know if you remember that little ditty, but he was in Korea for a couple of years, and he was getting out and looking forward to, you know, starting his life over, and they came up with the stop-loss program because they didn't want to, you know, start a draft. They were kind of on the fence.
Oh, so that's right. They kept people in.
Exactly, and right. So they actually kept him in, and they transferred him directly to Iraq. He didn't even come home before he went, you know, just from Korea to Iraq, and so he, you know, he did his time in Iraq, and when he did get out of the service, he came back with pretty severe post-traumatic stress and also with a heroin addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty common for mm-hmm. people to use heroin over there because it's pure heroin. You know, they get it in Afghanistan. It's very back and forth, even between the troops to Afghanistan and Iraq and back and forth. So he came back, and he just was definitely not the same. Bear in mind, too, that I'm from the Midwest, so he was actually, you know, in a small town outside of Chicago when all of these things were happening, and it was really, really difficult to get him to his appointments. The closest vet's hospital was an hour away in either direction. You could go to Chicago or you could go to, you know, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time we found out that he was using, that he was self-medicating with heroin, it had gotten pretty far, you know, advanced. We didn't know it when he first got home. And it was just a real struggle for the family. He did finally get clean. He was clean for 6 months. And then, unfortunately, he used heroin one more time, and he died of an overdose. And that was 2 years ago on December 3rd. So I've wanted to do something for a while, you know, to make a difference for veterans who are suffering. But I haven't been able to do it by myself. So
right.
I feel really blessed that through Daniel, another Marine veteran at the gym, I met Matt. And we're working to put this event together.
Cool. Absolutely cool. I'm so sorry for your loss. I really mean that. And, you know, the people, for some reason, I don't know why, you know, they pointed to Vietnam as the place that was all the addictions. It wasn't. It happened. It didn't happen. It happened more with alcohol in the Second World War and the Korean War, but it sure as hell happened. And where I was in Vietnam, we didn't have a lot of marijuana or dope. But then you were on a. I was on a boat. You know, there was no place to go hide and have a joint. So you know, but because we had no place to go, and this is how the service deals with the service people however best they can. Everybody had a case of beer every 2 days. Each person got a case of beer every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a number of us said, okay, if you're going to go home, don't be bombed all the time because you can't do what you have to do. So there was quite a cadre of us that just drank soda pop for the whole year and got home. And so and that was important. But people need to understand that people in these terrible environments, and these just in a war environment, in a physically challenging, terrible environment, you know, the people that become addicted are very common. It's very common to say, okay, I've got to escape this. And so, you know, I really hope that people will kind of keep open minds and hearts about people and, you know, not blame them. Just understand that that's what happens, because that's really important, I think.
Yeah, you know, and they kind of went from one extreme to another. I think, you know, they didn't let them have any alcohol over there, at least where my brother was. They wouldn't let them drink. And I'm not saying that it's okay to self-medicate with alcohol. If you're using alcohol, whatever you're doing to make yourself feel better, it's not the answer. But I would much rather had him be given a case of beer than, you know, be doing heroin. Yeah. But that was the drug of choice, and every war has a drug of choice. I mean, you can look back and you can see it.
And you're right. I think part of the problem is it's kind of like the military has decided not to tell servicemen they can't smoke. You know what I mean? It's the last thing that they're told they can still do, kind of, so to speak. But no, you know, because you're putting these people under a huge amount of stress. I mean, you know, look at the stress you were under, and I was under. And so a lot of people say, excuse me, I'm going to, you know, have a beer or two or whatever the case may be. Now, some people maybe get drunk all the time. That's a whole other matter. But, you know, it's just a matter of I think I felt, and I'm not promoting alcohol use, but I felt when I heard that the Iraqi soldiers, when our soldiers in Iraq, when they first went there, that they were not allowed to have alcohol. Mm-hmm. I have to say, honestly, I thought that that's not really a good idea.
No.
I don't think it's a good idea. Anyway, and again, I don't mean by abusing it. I hope people understand what I'm saying. It's just a matter of the level of tension in a human being under those circumstances is beyond anything that anyone who's not been through it could ever know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really what it's about.
You really can't wrap your head around it.
No, you
just can't fathom it. And there was a particular incident. I actually spoke to him, and then a few days later, his chow hall was blown up. And come to find out, he had been, it was his time for his, you know, unit to eat lunch, and he decided to take a nap. So he took a nap, and he heard the explosion, and he woke up, and he ended up going and having to clean up, you know,
people.
The mess, his friends, people that he worked with every day. That and constant, you know, convoys day in, day out, being, you know, bombed, roadside bombs. I mean, this was very early in the war. It was just really, really ugly. And you've constantly got that fight or flight mode going, which actually messes with your brain chemistry. And so you really can't judge someone by his choice to use. I never would have thought he would do something like that.
Well, and again, let's reiterate this idea. You cannot, if you haven't been through, but here's the other thing, even if you have been through it, here's one of the things that I talked to other Vietnam vets about, that Vietnam was so diverse in, you could be doing this thing here, and a mile away this other thing was going on, a mile the other direction something else was going on. Everybody has this idea that it was like when they see World War II movies, that it was this one big cohesive movement of people. It wasn't that at all. It was all these little units doing weird stuff, you know, and every now and then you cross each other's paths and whatever, you know. But everybody's experience was so unique to themselves and also each individual's experience, you know. And I know people that have had to clean up a lot of people and what that's done to them. And I know, I mean, you can imagine what it, I mean, it just makes an impression on you that you can't shake. And it's tough. Now, what we're trying to do now, of course, with PTSD is say, okay, let's find a way to see if we can shake it. You know, let's find avenues, things we can do. But one of the good things about the VA unit that you're going to, Matt, is the fact that they're addressing combat veterans as combat veterans. If you go to the VA and you go through PTSD, you go to counseling, but they don't want you to go back into what you did, really. They don't dwell on that at all. And that's to me a little bit of a problem, because somebody has to get it out. People get it out. I've seen people that can get it out somewhat, but you know what I'm saying? It's not really directed at somebody's combat experience and somebody's all the terrible things they saw, the VA. So they're more like, you know, how are you doing today and how'd you do last week and all that kind of stuff, which is, I mean, there's some value to that, but I think for combat veterans, I think it's really important.
Absolutely.
And
I've talked with, you know, two or three different therapists and I've had horrible experiences with it before I hit up the VA clinic. It just wasn't comfortable. People that just couldn't understand and couldn't fathom, and they were asking the wrong questions, and you just get turned off by it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hopefully, if, you know, for those veterans that are out there listening, is You just got to keep trying. You need to find the path.
So let's remind people, it's on not Laurel Lane. What's the street? That's
Southwood.
Southwood. It's on Southwood next to the YMCA.
Right next door.
Okay, right next door to the YMCA. Now, remember, this is a government veterans program, but it's different than going to the VA per se. Mm-hmm. And so I would also say to veterans who have gone through a post-traumatic stress, if you're having anxiety, if you're having stress, you're having any of these things, nightmares, whatever, flashbacks, all those things, please avail yourself of this service because they can really help you out. I mean, it's really important. And it's important that you get helped out, as far as I'm concerned. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back because we have an event going on in Morro Bay that we're going to talk about, and that's why my guests are here. So we'll take a break and come right back.
Ladies, how many pounds have you gained since you turned 40? If you're like most women, probably 10 or more. But hundreds of thousands of women have discovered the secret to losing weight after 40. It's called Ambrin, and it's the only product on the market today clinically proven to cause sustained weight loss for women over 40. With no special diets or exercise programs, you can try Ambrin absolutely risk-free and get a one-month supply free by calling 1-800-960-7761. The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. Ambrin balances hormones naturally, so the extra weight can fall right off. Yes, even that stubborn tummy fat. Plus, Ambrin relieves other symptoms of hormonal imbalance, like hot flashes, night sweats, low libido, sleeplessness, and more. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply free. Free supplies are limited, so call now. 1-800-960-7761. That's 1-800-960-7761.
Jeff Downs, Steve Howe, Carl Palmer, John Wetton, celebrating three decades of legendary music. Asia, November 8th at Shoebash Casino Resort. The 30th anniversary of the biggest selling album in the world in 1982. More at OriginalAsia.com. Reserve seats on sale now at Club Shoebash, ShoebashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737. New album available now.
My guests are Greg Shearer, Matt Reed, and Kat Roach, and we're talking about PTSD and suicide awareness. And we have a first annual Mind Over Matter, I think that's what it looks like, for 2012. And so go ahead and somebody start talking about.
Absolutely. Well, as Kat mentioned earlier, she's been wanting to do something like this for a couple years since her brother's death. And you know, she just hadn't found the right people with the right mindset. My buddy Dan... Daniel Patelko, he's my roommate, one of my best friends. He's my roommate now. He moved down here about 4 years ago after he got out of the Marine Corps. He did two deployments to Iraq and one to Afghanistan. So he's been down here for a while, and I moved down here to go to school and hang out, and then I met Kat through Dan. And she had brought this up about a month and a half, 2 months ago now. And so we kind of came together, the three of us, and really said, we need to sit down. We need to do this. This is kind of coming off of... A few months ago, Dan and I lost a couple buddies, some Marine Corps brothers, to PTSD-related suicides. And it's unacceptable to me. We have such a tight-knit group when we're in, and we would never allow something like this to happen to each other.
But here's what's interesting. What's shocking is not only the people that are taking their lives after they get out of mm-hmm. service, but the number of GIs that are taking their lives while they're there.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, it's mm-hmm. and you, somebody might say, well, that doesn't make any sense because, you know, what you're afraid of is dying and then you kill yourself. You once again, I'm going to tell you, things get scrambled when under that circumstance.
It's hard to comprehend.
Hard to comprehend.
And so we started a group on Facebook between ourselves, and it's called Group, and it's a place for us combat vets that serve together to come together, because we're spread throughout the entire country.
Sure.
And life goes on. You know, we all realize that, and you do lose contact here and there, but we're being proactive about it, and we've come together, and it's a place for us to be able to just post, you know, whatever it's been a crappy day, and
right.
you come to find out there's 30 dudes out there who are right there with you.
Right.
And so kind of with that support behind us, we started and came up with the idea for Mind Over Matter, which is a PTSD and suicide awareness event. And I'll let Kat kind of get into the details.
Okay.
As far as what the activity is.
Okay.
Well, we're planning different activities every year. We've already got plenty of big ideas for next year. But this year, Mind Over Matter, supporting veterans 1 mile at a time. We're actually very blessed by the fact that Fitness Works of Morro Bay is holding an open house that day, which means that anybody can go to the gym, even if you don't have a membership, and they are hosting us. So what we're doing is we're opening the gym. All of the equipment in the gym that day is available for you to hop on and actually track your miles. Or we have a spin-a-thon. Spin is an indoor cycling class, and it's instructor-led. So you don't have to be a cyclist. You don't have to be. You can be a beginner. Just come and take a class. What we're asking people to do is to come to the gym and give a donation of suggest a donation of at least $10 to hold your bike, and that's for either a 30 or a 60 minute class. You can do more than one class. You can do as many as you'd like. Actually, it's $10 per class. If you wait until the day of the event, it goes up to 20. So what we're trying to do right now is just to get people to come in and pick up pledge packets. So you pay your $10, you get a pledge packet, you go out and you get people to sponsor you by the mile. Okay. And you can do that for either the spin-a-thon, or you can just get a pledge packet, you know, give your donation and get on any of the equipment, the treadmills, the elliptical, track your mileage, and collect your donations.
Now, is there going to be like a donut or something I can have?
What's that?
A donut or anything? That's right.
If you get on a bike, I'll get you a dozen donuts.
Come to my class. I am teaching at 1 o'clock. I need people.
If I got on a bike, I deserve a dozen.
Well, you know, usually you can do about 10 miles in 30 minutes and okay. 20,
yeah, let me tell people
minutes,
the address.
So.
This is at 500 Quintana Road. Mm-hmm. As you're headed, you know, it parallels the freeway, and it's the one where the cars in the freeway are going 75, and the little old lady in front of you is going 10. So you'll know you're on Quintana Road. And so it's Fitness Works, and let's give out a number here because it's important. It's 805-772-7466. That's 805-772-7466. Or you can do an email, Danny, D-A-N-I, at fitnessworksmb.com. That's Danny at fitnessworksmb.com. Once again, let me give you a phone number. Please write it down. It's 772-7466. Do they have to ask for extension 209?
No, actually, you can just press 4 and you'll get the front desk.
Press 4. Okay, press 4. And so this is our first annual Mind Over Matter event. And again, it's to benefit AMP Surf and Vets Express. But most importantly, it's to benefit veterans and veterans' families. To you know, and what's important to know is you may need to be the person that gets a person there, mm-hmm. that gets right. the person to do what they need to do, that brings the person to this event. Even if you're just there to observe and just see other people that are vets like yourself, I think that connection is very important. Not everybody in the world wants to join the VFW or something like that, you know. So you know, this idea of having a connection with other veterans is very, very important. And again, I think especially with PTSD, you get to meet other veterans that you go, I thought I was the only one. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I thought I was suffering by myself.
That's the biggest thing that I want to get out there. And coming on your show, and I appreciate you so much for letting us do this.
Sure.
Is letting those vets out there that are listening in the car, at home, or at work, wherever you may be, is that I'm here for you. I'm a veteran myself. I'm a combat veteran. I've been there. I'm struggling through it. I'm right there with you. That you're not alone in it. And I just want you so bad to get out there and get the right help.
Right.
Because it's not, your life is so much, is worth so much. You know, if nobody else, to me, it's important. You're important. And I want you to get out there and get the proper help.
Well, an interesting day, I think. And we have Kat, Matt, and Greg here. Matt's with his experience. Kat being a veteran, but then having her brother, end up on the wrong side of the soil because of his combat experience. It's really, really important. And you have to, you know, this other thing that I think that we have to recognize is that we have a fairly invisible war going on, but it's affecting a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of people serving, a lot of people getting hurt, a lot of people going through PTSD, and yet nobody's has to pay any attention to it if they don't want to.
Absolutely right.
And I'll catch myself being mad at myself for going a few days without thinking about it. And that may sound funny, but I owe my thoughts and prayers to the people that are fighting there to me. That's my feeling. And so, it's really important. And we don't have the draft to have people raise hell about. We don't have a national effort of any kind. You know, we're just off doing this thing. You know, it's almost like privateering, really, is what our military is sort of like right now. And, again, it's really important to try to stay in touch with people and to understand. Go ahead, Greg.
Bill, I was wondering if we could give Kat an opportunity. You mentioned that AmpSurf and Veterans Express are benefiting from right. this event. And it would be nice to hear how they chose these two organizations as beneficiaries.
Okay.
And there are also other ways to participate in the event besides just the exercise portion. I'll tell you about that in a second. Basically, because we just came together like 2 months ago and it was pretty quick, we wanted to make sure that we knew where the money was going that we were going to raise, and that it would be benefiting local veterans. And as I said before, 1 in 10 people in Slo County is a veteran, and we just wanted to know that that money was going to make a difference for people who are in our backyards. So why we chose Veterans Express and AmpSurf, first of all, this war, and I have a letter here I'll give you on the way out, and you can read it later, but we have a really high amount of vets who are coming back as amputees
right.
From this war because of the body armor. And what I really love about AmpSurf is that it's empowering
right.
for these vets, and not mm-hmm. only for veterans, but they actually serve everyone, children,
inspiring.
And it's
really
inspiring, right. There's this real mind-body, like, earth experience that happens when you get out there in the water, and it's very therapeutic. So.
And once again, it's with other people that are going right. through what you're going through, have been through the medical part of what you've been mm-hmm. through, which is huge.
I also like to mention, AmpSurf is not just a veterans group. They work with amputees from all around the country, whether or not you served or not. So, right. you know, for those people that would be interested in this, it's open to the public as well as veterans.
Okay, let me pound this in so people really understand this, because it's not that far away. It's a few yeah. days.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on the 11th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's in Morro Bay at the Fitness Works at 500 Quintana Road. I will be mentioning it more, today, tomorrow, the next day. So I'll make sure you got the information. Okay. If you need more info, call 772-7466. That's 772-7466. Hit number 4. You get the front desk, and you can ask whatever you need and buy your stuff. And so we look forward to a really interesting day. And I certainly want to thank Matt, Kat, and Greg for being here and sharing, because I know it's hard to share sometimes, and I appreciate what you've done.
But
great.
Are we done?
Thank you, guys. Yeah, we're done. That's it. We're done. We're done.
Again. Whoa. 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 gone gray, all the leaves are gone brown. Let me tell you a story. Lay down, I know you're weary. While the stars in the sky, while the moon's on the rise, lay down and don't you wait till morning. Close your eyes and helpless through the night. Lay down and dream of love and glory. This is a lover's lullaby. Once was a magician, fair he was and handsome, and he brought to the table all the fool's golden wine. Well, he promised us
I guess it had been a while since you heard Janis Ian right there. So that sort of Lover's Lullaby. You're Bill Benica, Talkers Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network. Thanks for joining me today. I'm glad you're here at 1340 KYMS, your news station. Our time is 1:12 and 45 seconds. And that's where we're at right now. And yesterday we set a record. Did you see that? 96 degrees in San Luis Obispo. It felt like 96 degrees, I gotta say. It was hot. It was hot, 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 hot. Anyway, it was hot. Anyway, today I'm not sure what we're going to do. We may set a record. Now, being a knucklehead, I didn't get to a couple things. There was the two things about the Mind Over Matter event that's happening from 11 a.m. to 6 o'clock on the 11th, which, of course, is Sunday. They have a silent auction and 50-50 auctions throughout the day. So it'll be this thing goes all day from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then was there something else I was going to tell you? There's that. Oh, I know what it is. Down the street, I don't know what that means, down the street, but somewhere close by, Randy Couture is a mixed martial art champion, and he's going to be putting on some kind of an event for veterans. I'm not exactly sure where. Down the street, they told me. Anyway, it's like, down the street. Okay, so anyway, so that's it right there. Randy Couture. Not a man you want to fight with. You know what I'm saying? Well, not surprisingly, because the way things are going, of course, is the seismic testing has run into more criticism. Now the Coast Commission's jumped in and said, we don't know. We don't think so. We're not sure. We don't think it's from there. Anyway, the NRC is the one that said, you know, perhaps we should have more testing before we renew. And even they're sort of backpedaling on the whole thing. So it's. But there's another agency that said they don't think that it's going to hurt anything. You know, this was like some agency, Land, Sea, and Air, whatever it was, said they didn't think it was going to make any difference, you know. So At this point, you know, not being an expert on this thing, it doesn't sound like it's a good idea. That's just what I'm going to say. I'm going to say as a guy who doesn't know, it doesn't sound like a good idea. Okay. So I think this is a little bit up in the air, to tell you the truth. I think that's where we are at the moment, is to see where this is going to go. I mean, they're talking about modifying, they're talking about shortening the time, they're talking about doing all kinds of things. They might just say, heck with it. Now, well, here's the thing I was going to tell you about. Let me find this thing. The East Coast, are you aware of the fact that East Coast from Jersey north is bracing for another storm? And this time it could bring snow, it could bring flooding again, it could be tidal surges, 50-mile-an-hour winds. I know they don't deserve it, but that's New Jersey, I know. But here's the deal. So that's what's going on. Then here was a story about a beaver dam break that led to flooding. And, you know, it's not something you expect, really. You know what I'm saying? You're out there in the country with the beavers, you don't expect that, I don't think. But we'll have a spot, and then we'll get to it. I can already tell you what this is for without them saying it yet. It's for Windows 8. Yes, it was. I could tell. Not because I knew it, but just because what else would be like that?
I was reminded of those pictures of the tsunami.
In the water's path, Bob Psycho's home.
This is substantial, and it happened in such a short period of time.
Psycho says he's been concerned about exactly this happening ever since last spring, when the top 12 inches or so of the beaver dam suddenly broke off.
We absolutely had concerns about it. That's why we contacted the county after we had some minor flooding issues.
King County Emergency Management said it monitors beaver dams and their dangers. What happened at this particular dam today is under investigation, but...
This one wasn't on the radar. It didn't have a level of threat, as I understand it.
Meanwhile, up the creek, with shovels and chainsaws, neighbors are trying to divert the flow to prevent even more damage downstream.
And that thing was 4 feet high right there when we started. Now it's, you know, one little creek. I mean, yeah, no, it's working.
It's working, I guess. Anyhow, that was really kind of too bad there about the beavers screwing things up. All right, that's right. That's just thought it was. The beaver. Leave it to the beaver. All right, so they did, and that's what happened. All right, other people learned the news today. This is interesting. They said that Salman Rushdie discussed his fatwa, but he really didn't discuss it from what I've read here. The Ayatollah Khomeini, of course, called for Rushdie's death after the Satanic Verses was published. Anyway, but now he's come up with another book. It's Joseph Anton, details the years that he spent hiding. Anyway, let me just say this. I wouldn't get into a car with the guy. I don't think I would. All right. Aerosmith takes a sentimental journey back home to Boston. And so they went back to Allison neighborhood. So anyway, I don't know if that's news or not, but they have it in the paper. So I said, okay, I'll go ahead and mention it. Okay. Now, this is interesting. I'm not sure why they did this headline, Associated Press, this way, because then when you read the rest of the article, you're going to go, so what? Relic stolen from Mission in Ventura, Mission Buenaventura. San Buenaventura. So there was stuff stolen. You know what the stuff was? I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you who it's from, okay? It's from St. Bonaventure, St. Catherine Labor, Father in Upper Osera, St. Bernard, St. Vincent de Paul, and St. Judas Taddeo. Now, I didn't know they did this. Until this article, I didn't know they did this. These were 2 to 3 inches chunks of bone from each of those people. They were locked up in the bone department, and somebody broke in. Anyhow, there must have been nothing left by the time. How many missions we got? 13? There couldn't have been much left to Father Sierra. Anyway, here's the deal. So they recognized from the surveillance that they already had the perp in custody for something else. So even though they were stolen, I assume they're going to be recovered. I would assume, because it just happened. But anyway, so they'll put it back in the bone drawer. There you go. All right. Here was an interesting thing. This was a couple of years ago, but there's a documentary that says Netanyahu ordered an alert in 2010, meaning alert like we're going to have to hit Iran. And then Defense Minister Ehud Barak said, "Nah, we're not prepared to do that right now." So I don't know. Okay. We still don't know what we don't really know yet what we're preparing for or not preparing for, do we? You know, it's kind of like if you don't talk about it, then maybe it'll somehow disappear from the earth, but it won't. So I don't know what's going on with it. Okay. Big supersized problem we're having is finding homes for the homeless, and of course they're trying to figure out where to put everybody because you're in densely populated areas, and trying to find extra apartments or anything else to try to put people in is near impossible, not impossible, but not doing very well. So then they also talked about, well, let's say you got the FEMA trailers. Do we have new FEMA trailers that don't have stuff that'll kill you? Do we have new FEMA trailers? Anyway, let's assume we do. Where are they going to put those? Where would they put them? So they've talked about parks and stadiums and places like that. Stadiums at the moment are being used, aren't they? Anyway, so they're not sure what they're going to do. But, boy, they got to come up with something because you got a lot of people sitting out there in the cold. And you got people without power still. Can you imagine? There's a story in the news about the Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, who was accused of multiple counts of murder and attempted murder in a military court today. And he had gone into a village and just annihilated everybody. Then he came back to his base and told a guy, "I'm going to go to another village." But he was stopped. Anyhow, so he said he thought he was doing the right thing. So this could be, I have no idea what this is a case of. We don't know yet. It could be a case of, by the way, the people coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, they don't call it PTSD. They call it PTS, post-traumatic stress. When I was told that, I said, "I have to break the news to you. It's a disorder." But anyway, that they refer to it as PTS. So I just want to tell you. All right. Sarah, you don't know what that did that. Okay. Now, guess what? Macmillan Education said Monday it will cease publishing a printed edition of its dictionary. Final editions of the dictionaries are now being printed. Macmillan Education Unit of Macmillan Publishers said we're just not going to have it anymore because it's online. Everybody goes online now. And that's pretty much the reality of lots of things. That's where it's headed. And that's where it's going to be. So there you go. And here's the opinion of the Tribune. Your vote matters. Make it count. Make your vote count. Make your vote count. Okay. All right. You get to some other stuff here that's going on. Oh, Well, you know who's made CNN? There's a magician, a local magician, who here, let me find out. By playing it doesn't do any good. It won't do it. But we can hear his name maybe because I want to tell you where to go on YouTube. You might put magician loses his head. Might if you're gonna YouTube this, magician loses his head. There's a local guy that did this trick in Bubblegum Alley on people. But the other thing that's amazing is I got to tell you the truth about this guy. I'm sorry. Let me find out his name so you can Google his name or YouTube his name. We'll find out. But it doesn't do any good to play it because you can't see it. But maybe we'll just play the very beginning of it. When you go to on YouTube, it shows other tricks that this guy has done. And it's like, holy moly. And that's just me. I'm always fascinated. So he sneezes. It looks like his head's falling off into his hands. But can we get... Oh, Rich Ferguson. There we go. I found it. Rich Ferguson, his name is. So write that down. Rich Ferguson. That's spelled F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N. And YouTube that guy. You too can be startled. Okay, you're going to be startled because it's startling. And once again, I'm one of these people, and I've told you this a million times, I don't want to know how they do it. I don't want to know. I want to just be surprised and have fun with that. Okay. Let's see if we have anybody else in this. Oh, this was interesting. Tom Brokaw made a comment, and I was sort of surprised at this, but here's what he had to say, that he quit. He's glad that he quit anchoring when he did. Because, of course, you look how everything's in the trenches nowadays. You know, things are really tough. But that's what he said. So we're going to see if we go right into that or if we do one of these inane ads first that doesn't tell us anything. Okay. This is the one about the broadband or whatever.
Whoever's fathered the most children gets the most data.
Let's just do it by hair.
Body hair?
Most dental work.
What? Stop downloading and stop liking everything. It should be by who has the least amount of cartilage in their left knee.
Just want to take a bath.
Say no to sharing. Say yes to Sprint. With truly unlimited data, text, and calling.
If I don't get home in time to watch the nightly news, I do have the advantage of being able to access the system, read the scripts, see the rundown, and from time to time, I'll say, have you thought about including or giving a little more emphasis to? Not very often. And they're always kind of generous, and I always think that they must hang up the phone and say, well, the old guy was at it again, and just everybody be kind to him, and we'll see how this works out. I'm still, in my own mind at least, a working journalist. Well, I was the first one to make a decision to step aside, and I wanted to not be tied to 6:30 every night. And Peter came to me and said, my God, I can't believe you're doing this. I want to be in it. And 6 months later, Peter was dead. And it really reaffirmed my decision. The line about you don't know anybody on their deathbed who said, gee, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. That's kind of how I felt. I wanted to be free to do things that I care about and not worry about whether it was a rating period or I have to rush back to the studio and be on the air that night. Oh, sure, there are always the interviews you like to do over again. Some of them I'd do the same way again. I was in the backyard with Nelson Mandela the day after he got released. I could have sat with him for the next 30 days. Here was a man who'd been in prison for more than 25 years, and you would have thought he'd been on a three-day holiday. He was so elegant and calm and wise and good-humored. He teased the camera crew about their microphones looking like a shotgun to him. Gorbachev. We did it with simultaneous translation. It worked out okay. We probably made a mistake in agreeing to doing it just in an hour. We should have had more time to rock and roll on the differences between the Soviet Union and the United States. The interview that we did was a seminal introduction of him to this country in so many ways.
Mr. General Secretary, thank you very much for this time.
Once again, let me avail myself of this opportunity to say to my American viewers, until we meet on American soil.
One of my favorite stories about Gorbachev is that on the 10th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, I had a favorite Polish cameraman with me who makes homemade lemon vodka that's to die for. And he wanted to share a glass with Mikhail Gorbachev. Gorbachev's doctor had just told him no more drinking. And Gorbachev looked at me and says, my doctor says I should not drink except lemon vodka. And so we had a great toast to world peace. Everybody wants to be a star and be a star now. And the last White House Correspondents' Dinner, I had just been out across the country where there's a lot of pain. A lot of people lost their homes or lost their jobs, were in danger of doing that. A lot of uncertainty, an absence of confidence that I had not witnessed before. So on the biggest weekend of the year for Washington journalists, turn it on, and there's Kim Kardashian and Lindsay Lohan and people in designer gowns and black tie. And even the president, you know, up there kind of mocking the press and the press mocking him, out of proportion, I think, to what it had been in the past. I just think it sends the wrong signal to the country. I can't imagine if you're out there, small business owner in Wichita, Kansas, or a school teacher who's worried about losing her pension in Seattle, you tune in to see how the American journalistic establishment is protecting your rights. And they're mostly interested in having their picture taken with Kim Kardashian.
If you haven't dined at the Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay Embarcadero, you're going to love their new look. They've done a total remodel throughout the restaurant. You'll most likely be entering the Dutchman through the bar, where weekdays from 3 to 6, you'll enjoy daily drink and appetizer specials. If you're a football fan, come on in for the NFL games on Sunday and Monday nights when appetizers are half off. As a foodie, I'm really enjoying the Dutchman's new farm-to-table chef, who has created a new menu that features fresh seafood. It all starts with hand-selected fish delivered right to our dock and served within hours of being pulled from the ocean. Right now, albacore, swordfish, and bluefin tuna are being featured. Formerly known as the Flying Dutchman, you'll find the newly remodeled Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay waterfront near Pacific Street at 701 Embarcadero. For great seafood, creative cocktails, and reasonably priced wines, you gotta try Dutchman Seafood House. Again, that's on the Morro Bay waterfront near Pacific Street at 701 Embarcadero. Hope to see you at the Dutchman Seafood House.
Then one day I flew far away from sweet magnolia bell. You know I've loved you well, even if I never said it.
Dan Fogelberg right there with Bill Benica and you, and whatever that song was, I forget. All right, you're with Bill, and you know who you're with also is Major Tom, because he has a strange tale about what happened to him when he went to vote today, and I thought I'd share it with you because it's indeed a strange thing. Hi, Tom.
Hello there.
Okay, well, you talk to me about it. Now we got to tell others then, say here's what happened. Now, do we say where your polling place is?
Oh, sure, that's fine.
Okay, where is it?
It's the Ramona Gardens Park there in Grover, whatever that building is, the building that's there.
Okay, the Ramona Gardens Park building. All right, and so what happened?
Well, so I go up there to vote, and I park and start walking up, and they have a folding table sitting out front of the door to the polling place because you walk inside to vote, and there was a person standing there with a, and then there was an elderly lady who was sitting down, and so she was voting there outside, I guess, because she couldn't get inside the building. And there was a gentleman helping her, and I couldn't determine exactly if he was a polling person or if he was some relation to her or something, and he was helping her vote. And he had in his hand a flyer, one of those doorknob things one of those many thousands of doorknob things that you found on your door.
Yes.
You know, from a political candidate, and then a list of who this candidate wanted you to vote for. And I walked by, and, you know, it's like maybe 5 feet from the door of the polling place, and I just made the comment. I said, that's not supposed to be this close to a polling place. And he proceeded to tell me that, well, he was just helping her vote. And I went, well, I can understand that, but still, that's not supposed to be this close to a polling place. And then I went to take a picture of it, and he got all upset with me. And I'm not sure why. I think he thought I was going to determine who this lady was voting for by taking a picture of a flyer from a candidate. So I didn't understand that exactly. And then as I was just making that comment that he's not supposed to be that close, two people who were clearly poll workers came out and kind of said, what's up? And I said, well, this gentleman's got a piece of paper, a doorknob thing from a political candidate this close to the polling place. He's not supposed to do that. Well, he's just helping her vote. I'm like, once again, I understand that. People, we should help people vote any way they can, but he's not supposed to be that close to the polling place. So then he proceeded to walk to one of those little sheltered bus places where people wait for the bus, because that's the transfer location, I guess, for the buses. And so he walked over there and he wrote down, I guess, all the names from this flyer that said you're supposed to vote for, and brought it back to the table, and then helped the lady fill out her ballot. And in the meantime, I had walked in to go ahead and vote, and it was very quick. It took me all of 5 minutes. I had my sample ballot. I was, there was no line to speak of. And I walked in and voted, and then as I walked out, I could see that he was there kind of showing her where to make the marks on the ballot. And I wasn't really paying attention to what he was saying, but I just thought that was interesting. And so I sat down on a little flower curb, there's a little planter box around the flagpole that's there. And I was probably 10 feet away or so. I couldn't really see what was going on or hear anything, but I just stood there and I'm kind of flipping through my sample ballot, just kind of looking at it. And those same two poll workers came out and they like stood between me and the table so that I guess their point was that I couldn't see what was going on. Not that it was too far away anyway, so I couldn't see anything anyway. And so I sat there and they're going ahead and voting. And then this one lady who, her name was Ann Danko. She's a poll worker there. She asked me to move away from where I was sitting because, in her opinion, I could see or be able to, determine who this lady was voting for. And I said, oh, okay. So I stood up and walked back about 5 more feet, and I said, is this fine? And she goes, yeah, that's fine. I said, okay. And so I sat down there, and it was just interesting. And I had gone in and talked to another lady because I asked who the polling inspector was, and her name was Anita Suba. Maybe mispronouncing her last name. Sorry, but she was a very nice lady, and she asked me what was wrong, and I said this, and I said that the gentleman had his polling material there. Or election material there. And she goes, oh, did he move? And I said, well, I think he walked away. She goes, okay, well, I'll make sure of it. And she was very nice and did what I felt like she needed to do.
Now, was this old gal in a wheelchair or laying prostrate on the ground?
No, she had a walker.
A walker.
Yeah.
A what?
Which seemed odd to me was they had her sitting out on a table in the hot sun instead of
being inside.
Inside or in a shaded area. But, that's not my call. So, but I just, I felt a little, almost to say I was not intimidated, because they didn't really intimidate me, but they tried to present Ann and this other gentleman, Al Bushi. Once again, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name, but they were the two poll workers there. They tried to, give out this aura of, well, we know what we're doing, you're just a voter. And I just thought that seemed a little funny. I mean, I voted at every election I think that I could, and I've never had this kind of attitude by a poll worker.
One thing that comes to mind, though, is with the last name Hughes, people don't mispronounce your name because it's, how could you screw it up?
You'd be surprised.
Oh, that's probably true. But I suffer from the same syndrome that you do when I look at these names, and I don't know why, especially if they're like really a name that no normal person could pronounce, why they don't put phonetic pronunciations next to them. I don't understand why they don't, but they don't. So I make a fool out of myself daily. Anyway, but that's interesting.
Well, and then, of course, the one thing that you just asked me off mic was, or that I mentioned to you off mic, that was Ann asked me for my name, and I said, no, I'm not going to, I decide not to give it to you. Of course, that's kind of a moot point now because...
You know these mild-mannered engineers, mild-mannered engineers you hear about? Tom isn't one of those.
I know, it just seemed interesting, so...
Oh, okay, that was interesting, all right.
But,
wow.
But no, it was, everybody go out and vote because there was very little line and it was a very simple process.
Yeah, get out and vote for cash.
But I did find out, though, that they changed my polling place today. I didn't know that. So make sure to look at the back of your sample ballot.
Yeah, and they did that to me at some point. I was voting the same place.
I mean, like 6-7 blocks difference. I mean, it wasn't like I could just walk around the corner. I mean, it was like I used to be over here and now I'm way over here.
I was changed where I had to drive. Honestly, I had to drive to get to the poll.
Well, okay. I did too.
no, but I mean it's not really walkable to the normal person.
Well, my original place was walkable.
Okay,
it was like 2 blocks away.
So it was mine.
This one's like, and I could have still walked, but I was heading into the office, so I decided to drive. And it was from 2 blocks away to 7 blocks. So it's not, 7 blocks, I can walk 7 blocks.
If there was a restaurant between my house and that place and I had to go there on foot, I'd have to stop and get something to eat. So that's why that's too far. You have to drive.
There's no restaurants there, I don't think. Sorry.
Anyway, that's our story of voting. I'll tell you what we got though. We got Conan O'Brien, and he's gonna talk about the salty campaign we've had.
Dad, listen, we're gonna go broke unless we figure out a way to divvy up the shared data plan fairly. So, whoever's fathered the most children gets the most data.
Let's just do it by hair.
Body hair?
Most dental work.
What? Stop downloading and stop liking everything. It should be by who has the least amount of cartilage in their left knee.
Just want to take a bath.
Say no to sharing. Say yes to Sprint. With truly unlimited data, text, and calling.
Of course, today the only thing anyone's talking about on television is the big election. And luckily for Americans, our local news stations across the country are providing their own fresh take as the campaign winds down. Take a look.
And at 12:09, welcome back in. The final days of the campaign sometimes can get a little salty.
Well, the final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
The final days of the campaign can get a little salty.
As you probably noticed, the final days of the campaign have been, well, you might call them just a little salty.
You know who I want to meet? I want to meet Cammie Mountain.
Cammie Mountain. Boy, her parents had to know, we're making a newswoman. Let's name her Cammie Mountain.
We'll call her, and her name shall be Cammie Mountain.
All right, Major Tom still is in the studio, so I'm going to ask him a question because, you know, this studio was ill-designed to begin with for guests. It wasn't really designed for guests is why. And so when it's in its original form, it wasn't for that. It was to have one person on the radio and then one person as the disc jockey. Where were the turntables back then, on this side?
Well, no, there weren't really.
Oh, that's right. That was the days of the CD, right? What do you mean, no? What are you going to say? Was there turntables?
No, there were no, and you didn't, I mean, you probably don't recall the conversation, but as you can see, because of some of the holes in this furniture, this was repurposed furniture. This was not designed for this room.
Oh.
So it just, we reused some furniture, and that's why it's...
cattywampus.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense right there. But then there's a big cabinet you've moved in and pushed everybody off to the left there. What's that about?
Well, that's going to replace this big, what's called a turret here on the side. And I know you know turrets, but that you have a different...
I have a different turret.
Different
but
turret.
Here's the thing that I need to ask you, though. Now, where's my CD player going?
It's
going to
go inside that rack.
And it's going to be over there?
Well, no, it's going to be right here.
Oh, this old thing's coming out, and that's going in.
And then the emergency alert system that always goes off during your show that you comment about often...
Yes, where's that going?
...is disappearing.
So he hears your prayers sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. He hears mine a lot and just says no. But here's the deal. And then don't forget to hook up the cassette player. I only need to use it once. I need to use
it
one
time. It is hooked up.
I thought we decided it wasn't.
To play, I think.
Nope, it's not. You unplugged it.
Oh.
Anyway, because I have a cassette tape that has God is a Dodger fan on there, which I haven't played all season, and now, of course, the Dodgers got smoked.
Didn't help this year,
did it? Didn't help, no. But I think it's worth sharing. That's all I'm saying is I think it's one of those things that's worth sharing.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm sure we can determine why it's not right.
Now, here's another thing Tom said. Tom, I'm gonna tell you this. Tom said there's a possibility that we could maybe get a new computer in here. It's a long shot, but a possibility. Can you imagine if I just punched something that came up and did what it was supposed to do?
But I can't do anything about the ads that play before the video.
Oh, that's
clips.
Okay. Well, that's so sometimes they're there. Sometimes they're there. Right. But here's the thing. If the computer worked right, I could skip past those and just cue it up to the story. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, I don't play. We don't play CNN News anyway. What difference does it make? Okay, moving right along here. I get busted for many, many violations.
But yes. Well, I'll keep you updated on the computer.
Thank you very much.
Computer issue.
And on any arrests that might come down with me involved. All right. The clock's behind me now because I have one of those atomic clock things. They call them atomic clocks. They're not atomic. But what they are is they got a radio signal that is synchronized to the clock in Colorado Springs. That's an atomic clock. And so it automatically keeps the time right. Well, when daylight savings time happens or doesn't happen, as the case may be, it's supposed to change itself. And mine didn't. But you might want to do as a favor for me? Just put it back on that wall until after I'm done. I use that.
You've got to push the little red button.
Oh, no. Let me see if that's it. No, there's very complicated instructions, but you can try that. Push the red button. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of really weird, the whole how you set it up and everything. It's like it doesn't make any sense. All right. You're at Bill Talker's Chief Friends and Neighbors Network right now. It is 148 and warm outside. And, again, yesterday we had a record of 96 degrees, which was just amazing. Patty Everett from Templeton wrote a letter. The other basically says at first when she was taking math in school, she didn't agree with the fact that she needed it. And now she says, see, it's really important and all that kind of stuff. She said, especially intermediate, the things like algebra and stuff. For the early childhood development, art major, English major, math 7 is as much as they'll ever need to know. Are you listening, Sacramento? So what she's saying is there is a limit to how much math you really need. But here's the problem. When you what year do we take algebra, for instance? It's like 7th, 8th grade, isn't it? So you don't know what you're going to do with your life. You don't know if you're going to need mathematics. You know, you're going to become a scientist or something. You don't know. You may say to yourself, if I have to use this mathematics, I don't want to be whatever it is that has to use it. That was my take on it. But the fact of the matter is, they gave it to you because they thought, okay, well, you got to be smart in case. But I know what you mean. See, because in theory, you could say, well, what good does history do me? Anything that's happened before, you know. Because, as you can see, we don't learn from history. You know, that's the old saying about we don't learn from history. So, see, then it gets into this debate about what you should take and what you shouldn't take and what you need and what you don't need. But they give you a little bit of everything because then you find out that somewhere along the line it may have piqued your interest. That's why. I still never like math, but I just thought I'd tell you that. And then Bonnie wrote a letter from Los Osos and said, separation is specified, which is very correct. She says, there's all this thing that much bandied about the American Constitution not specified separation of church and state. In fact, the First Amendment clearly says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So that's freedom of religion and freedom from religion. But the separation of church and state is not. Okay, and then also Article 6 specifies that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification of any office or public trust under the United States. Thus, America was not established as a Christian nation. In fact, we were specifically not so founded, since, again, this is quite pointedly no established religion either can be. So this is the funny part. This is interesting at the end. As my uncle used to say, thank God I'm an atheist. I enjoyed that. I thought it was okay. Brad Snook. And you say, have I heard that name, Bill? Yes, you have. He's with the Surf Rider Foundation. And they're talking about, how there's been a lot of poo-poo in the water these days, and it's not really good, and the guys are trying to surf and whatnot. And so he says, a chapter, Keeping a Blue Ocean Water Testing Partnership with the Avalos Sea Life Center is helping to build an independent data set. Our lab has already documented water quality issues in Avalos Lagoon, where Slo County does not sample and simply post signs not to swim there. Of course, you always see little kids swimming in Avalos Lagoon. He's saying we should clean this thing up. We should have a decent lagoon. I really don't know. I don't really know what the parameters of a lagoon should be, to tell you the truth. But okay, I won't argue with it. I'll say okay, that makes sense. You gotta have a decent lagoon. What else is happening around the world? There's this big brouhaha about Ralph Gillis, who was the executive from Chrysler, who after Mitt Romney said we're going to ship Jeep jobs overseas, he went on Twitter and said, wait, this ain't going to happen. And so all that. But what basically the story is that people in high places are now using social media to say, What are you talking about? I kind of like that. You know, so that's what they're saying. Is that for sure the right time? Did it seem to do something fun? Yeah, it's hard to put on there. I made it that way. That way it's hard to get off. I think it's dead on the right time. Just come on, you can do it. You can do it. You ever watch somebody? You know, I got those things where the nail has to go in a little hole, and then they're a pain in the neck. There's no question about it. Now, did you, when you pressed the button, did it actually move itself, or did you have to move it?
No, it's still not right.
Oh, that's right. I worked till 2. I thought maybe I got elevated somehow.
It says it will do something to catch up to the right time. We'll come back tomorrow and see if it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many days does it take? What good is that clock? It's not the right time for about a week and a half, but who cares? You don't need that. All right. Survey finds that money problems are easing. Measure of household financial woes falls to the lowest level since April of 2009, meaning fewer Americans are struggling economically. I don't know. I don't. And can I say this honestly? I don't know if that's true or if we realized it doesn't do any good to complain about it because that's the way life is, it seems, these days. I'm not, you know, so, you know what I'm saying? It could be a little bit of a sideways affair there. U.S. service companies grew at a slightly weaker pace in October than September. That's, you know, services and service and hospitality. That's what they're talking about there. All right. Then, Toyota's quarterly profit tripled, driven by recovery from natural disasters, and this company raised its full-year earnings forecast Monday despite a sales slump in China. And Toyota still is out there as just a strong contender all the time, regardless of the problems they may have. It does not matter. Okay. I'm done for the day, except for this. In the can. We'll get together again tomorrow at 12 noon. Until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Bye, 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 bye. Happy trails to you.